Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody. Tri-State. Again, I have a wonderful guest to share his experience, strength, and hope with us about his alcoholism and his recovery. So we'll get right to it. Don't hesitate to call and ask us questions, though, because we want to be available for you to answer any questions you have. Nothing's below the belt. You call us here at Radio Rehab. Let me just tell you a little bit about Jason. I met Jason in the Warrick County Jail on his 8th drunk driving offense. He had been in the Warrick County Jail arrested and booked over 200 times. And that doesn't count Posey, Spencer, and Vandenberg County. That's just the Warrick County Jail. 148 times in his little lifetime he was booked in that jail and arrested for drinking-related offenses. So when I met him, everybody had given up hope on Jason, that he was going to drink. He didn't care what anybody thought. He'd had 8 DUIs, lost his license for life, was the revolving door first name basis kind of prisoner at the Warrick County Jail. But he came into the drug court program and struggled at first with the rules, with authority. You know, he was young and wasn't sure he wanted to do this deal, but he did it. And he completed 18 months, graduated the drug court program in 2008, and soon he'll be celebrating 2 years of continuous sobriety. So I'm very proud for you all to meet Jason. Good morning, Jace.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Lisa.
You had to have known that the whole world never would imagine you'd quit drinking.
I didn't think of myself.
That you'd quit drinking?
No. I was on that path to destruction, and I didn't care what or who I affected, or, you know, I just didn't care about the law situation. Just jail didn't bother me.
You just got used to it, huh?
Yeah,
just a minor inconvenience.
Yeah, it was just, you know, a couple of days in jail here. I'll get bonded out. I didn't really care.
Wow. So you're one of those that is a clear example that locking people up for alcoholism doesn't stop them from drinking.
No, it had no effect on it whatsoever.
Unbelievable. We have a lot of changing to do in the way we deal with alcoholism and the offender, don't we?
Yes, most definitely. I guess it'd have to start, you know, with, you know, your personal reference, if you wanted to quit or not, or if you were fed up with, you know, life on life's terms. It's just got to be a whole mind-altering situation.
That's true. You got to change your mind 100%. So, Jason, you grew up in Newburgh?
Yes.
And what was it like in your family? Was there alcoholism there?
I was never exposed to it, you know, family-wise. I grew up with my grandparents, which never drank, or my mom. My brother never did. It didn't start, you know, I didn't get exposed to it until, you know, I ran around with, you know, my friends. So, no, the family situation was fine. It was great, actually. You know, I had much love for my grandma and grandpa.
But you were pretty much born with a silver spoon in your mouth, weren't you?
You could say that, I guess.
You had everything you could have wanted and needed.
Yeah, I mean, I never wanted for anything.
Right. And you were saying also that you weren't one of those kids that had a lot of insecurities or inadequacies.
No. I said I was pretty confident in what I did, or, you know, I made, you know, every day count, I guess, you know.
Kind of having a good time.
Yeah, just living it up.
So you had a lot of things provided to you. You had a lot of confidence. You were having a good time. So how does a young guy, you were talking before the show, at 14, you started smoking marijuana immediately on a daily basis. How does that happen to somebody that's cruising through life?
I guess it was just something different, something to do, you know, per se. I guess the buzz, you know, I liked it. I liked what it did. you know, it took me to a level where, you know, nothing mattered. I didn't have no worries, you know, when I was high.
And right at 14, that's that time in adolescence you really do start to question a lot of things.
It's, you know, getting high and smoking weed, it was just trying to impress, I guess, you know, my older buddies. You know, trying to fit in because I hung around, you know, with guys that were older than me most of the time. So they were doing it. So, you know, I just did it to basically fit in.
Sure. Do you think that's a lot of what happens to younger boys?
Most
they
definitely
hang out with older guys. And
you know, the situations I've seen growing up, you know, different guys or even, you know, the young guys now, you know, they get around these older people wanting to impress them, you know, wanting to fit in. You know, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm. So you did that. Does it occur to a 14, 15, 16-year-old that it's illegal, that it's wrong? That
no, you see other, you know, like I said, the older people doing it. You know, they ain't suffering no consequences, you know.
That's true.
So that I've seen.
You don't even think, oh, this is illegal when you're 14, 15, 16. Yeah.
Just trying to hide it from your, you know, your parents, basically. But
so did you notice any, did your life start changing once you were smoking pot daily as far as school and relationships?
Yeah, it started to go, I guess, downhill. I didn't care about my grades anymore or, you know, even going to school. I'd much rather stay at home and, you know, do what I wanted. You know, I had that mentality, you know, I don't have to do what anyone says. So I did it my way, and it didn't work out too well.
So you got kicked out of school, you were saying?
Yes.
At 16, 17?
Right when I turned 17, I got kicked out of school, expelled. But that, you know, that didn't have no effect either. You know, I still wanted to do it my way, thinking that was all right. You know, I can go back later and get my GED or whatever. I didn't care.
You think that's a lot of what young boys think. Oh, someday I can go back and catch that up.
Yeah, they think, yeah. You know, I'm young right now. I got plenty of life left to do that later on. So
yeah.
That's how I pictured it and thought.
Plus, a lot of folks that have come on here, especially guys, have said, you know, when they started using young marijuana especially, they just start thinking, oh, the cops are just after me.
That's all I thought. You know, they're just singling me out.
It's not the pot. It's not getting in fights or missing school or my grades. That's not the problem.
The cops are bored. That's what I always say. They're trying to do something with their time.
So were you pretty well known in Newburgh as being a guy that liked to...
A heathen,
Not a heathen.
But yeah, the cops knew me pretty well on a first name basis.
Yeah. So is marijuana available to teenagers? Was it to you on a regular?
Oh, readily available.
Wow.
Yeah, I could probably go to probably 200 or 300 different spots at any given day.
You're kidding me. Yeah. At 14, 15 years old?
Yeah, at that young.
Wow. Okay, so then you got in big trouble and it ended up in boys' school.
Yes.
And got your GED in there, you said.
Yes. I went to boys' school when I was 17 and a half. Spent almost a year there. Got my GED. Was at that time, I was just waiting for the day to get out to, you know, go back to the ways I was before I went in there.
So the whole time you were in boys' school, you weren't thinking about changing anything?
No.
Goodness.
I thought, you know, I'm still real young. I'm still going to party.
Wow.
That didn't have no effect on me.
We adults want to believe that these consequences young people have are going to shake them up.
No, because, you know, you go to boys' school, there's nothing that they do to even change your ways. It's just more like a punishment. Mm-hmm. They don't offer no rehab. That, you know, whenever I was there. You know,
how long ago?
Years,
yeah,
you know, 12
I think it's
years
changed
ago.
Now, but...
But back then, no, there was nothing.
No rehab, no.
They didn't even talk about substance abuse.
You're kidding.
No.
So, of course, you probably wouldn't have thought substances were a problem. They looked like a good time to you.
Yeah.
So you got out and got right back in.
Yeah, like an hour after I got out, I was smoking weed.
Okay, then you're turning 18 and you're an adult.
Yeah, so now I'm thinking, you know, it's going to go my way. I'm going to do what I want.
Wow. So what happened? Did anything happen at 18, 19 that you switched substances?
Yeah. At 19, my brother passed away. he was 3 years older than me. That's when the drinking really picked up. I started hanging around with a different crowd that drank all the time. So, you know, I put the weed down basically, and that's when the drinking really took off from that point.
So, in your head, did alcohol seem like a better way to go than smoking pot every day?
Yeah, it was less of a hassle to, you know, actually get a buzz, you know, or, you know, you can go to any store and get alcohol.
So it was more available, probably cheaper than marijuana.
Yeah, a lot cheaper.
At that legal, sort of.
Yeah, not alcohol was legal, you know. They sell it at every store you can think of, so.
Yeah.
I guess I thought, you know, that was just going to be an easier way to get high, so that's the route I took.
So from that point on, alcohol was your drug of choice?
Yeah. You know, it really progressed from there. I got a fake ID when I was 19, so the bar scene really started playing a factor in it. I liked it. You know, just that fact, you know, I'm not old enough to be in here, but I am. It just...
all that excitement.
Yeah, it was that and just the scene.
Yeah.
You know, being around, you know, shooting pool, or just standing there drinking around, you know, 40 or 50 people.
Not a care in the world.
No.
Very attractive to a young person, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's just the fact that you actually got into a bar, you know, being, you know, when you're not supposed to. It was just that, you know, that sneaky, deviant behavior.
Rebellion,
you know?
Yeah. So, Jace, do you think that rebelliousness is just a trait that most people that have alcoholism and addictive disorders have, that rebellious nature?
Yeah, it was a major, you know, milestone for me, you know, just being able to, you know, break the law and get away with it, you know. So I did it, and it was successful for a while.
Well, what blows my mind is you just so were not raised that way.
No. Not at all.
That rebellious personality is just in there. You come out of the shoot
ingrained.
That way.
It's just like you do it once or twice, and then just you're like, oh, God, I want to do it, you know, a lot now. It
becomes a gamble.
Yeah, it's like gambling.
Jeez. So you were driving.
Yes.
And when was your first DUI?
I was 19 when I got my first DUI, leaving a bar with my fake ID. I tried to pass that off.
Did you get caught for the fake ID, too?
Yeah.
So that was your first big legal after boys school. I mean, as an adult,
yeah,
the DUI.
As an adult, yeah.
No thoughts at that point about the drinking being a problem?
No. I was like, that's a bad luck situation. Because I didn't have my headlights on. That's why I got pulled over. So next time I thought, you know, I'll make sure everything's on before I take off, and I won't get caught next time.
So you weren't thinking your drinking had a role in any of this. It was just the driving or the car.
Man. Yeah.
Not the drinking.
No, not me.
Man. So then how old were you the first time you ended up going to jail for DUIs?
It was that night. I was
and stayed in? You were sentenced?
No. I bought it right out.
But, yeah. Because didn't you get two DUIs within 24 hours?
Yes.
Gee, was that DUI number 3 and 4?
I believe so.
I'll never forget you telling me that. You got bonded out, and then what happened? You went right to the
bar.
Well,
that night, it was about 3 in the morning. I got pulled over for drinking and driving, and later on that same day, at about 8 o'clock that evening, I got arrested for another DUI.
And driving on suspended by then,
oh,
I'm sure.
Lord.
Well, Tri-State, don't go away. We're going to take a break here. We're talking to Jason about his alcoholism and history of lots of DUIs and legal problems and how his attitude has been shaped and changed through all that. So don't go away. We're going to take a break. This is very interesting. We'll be right back.
Sometimes it's hard to sing the blues. No, really. Sometimes your woman hadn't left you. Sometimes life is downright perfect. Like a refreshing Coca-Cola with McDonald's french fries. Everything is until you run out. Then welcome back to the blues.
McDonald's fries and a Coke, perfect together. And right now at McDonald's, you can get any size icy cold Coke or soft drink for just one cool buck. Price and participation may vary for a limited time, a la carte only.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative Substance Abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, we're back talking to my friend Jason, who finally, after 148 bookings in the Warwick County Jail and 8 DUIs, had a big wake-up call about his alcoholism and his drinking problem. I guess at the age of 25, it's hard to take life too seriously, but you were saying, Jason, you just knew you had a son and knew you had to grow up.
Yes, most definitely. It finally started sinking in at that point that what I was doing wasn't working.
Yeah.
Something had to change. So I applied for the Warwick County Drunk Driving and Drug Court. It took some teeth pulling to get in, but I finally did. At first, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, be manipulative, trying to still do it my way. And finally it just sank in, and it was just not going to work my way, and I needed to try a different route. So that's whenever I really started getting involved in, you know, treatment. I got a sponsor, really opened my eyes up to different aspects. Just really that I figured out that drinking was the problem.
That had to happen, I guess, for you to quit drinking. You had to realize drinking is my problem, not the people, not the cops.
No, I finally realized that the alcohol was the root. The root that, you know, drove me to do everything else, you know, illegal.
And you went to treatment and then started going to AA meetings every day, and then what was it? You couldn't let go of the friends. You were having a hard time letting go of the friends.
Yeah,
and the judge.
I still thought, you know, I could still hang around them guys, and it didn't work for me. So very early on in the drug court program, you know, I thought I could get away with, you know,
hanging out with them still.
Yeah, and so that didn't work. I drank that night and got caught. So, you know, and then at that point it was just, that's enough. You know, I was tired of being, you know, in legal trouble.
And wow, to relapse while you're in treatment in a drug court, you have to know that is alcoholism.
Yeah, that really
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really sank in that, you know, I really
that was your step
problem.
One, huh?
Yeah.
And then you ended up having to go live at United Caring Shelter. Do you think that, for a guy like you, was a wake-up call too?
Yeah, knowing that, you know, me being where I came from, never having to want for anything, you know, seeing these guys that are, you know, at the end of the rope.
Yeah.
You know, it was an eye-opener to see that, you know, where I could end up.
Definitely.
Know, going down the road. Because, you know, some of them guys in there, you know, probably grew up the same way I did. And
that's
now
true.
Look at them, have nothing but the clothes on their back.
From alcoholism and addiction?
Yeah.
Mental illness? Wow. So you had said that for you, it was a struggle to join AA because they were all old people. So how did that change for you?
I started going to, you know, some more meetings, different meetings. I was going to basically just a meeting in Newburgh. And I started branching out and starting to run into people that I grew up with. That really opened my eyes.
In AA?
In AA. I seen guys I, you know, known for 20 years and that have multiple years of sobriety, and it's working for them, so it's got to work for me.
You know, that's what Bill Wilson, the founder of AA, when Ebby, his best friend, came over, there was a change he noticed in Ebby, and it sounds like that's what had to happen for you. You had to see people you knew and could identify
that's
with.
That's what really opened it up for me, seeing that people that I used to go party with, you know, and ain't seen in years. Now look at them, they own their own home and got good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, they're raising a family now, being responsible. And that's really what I wanted.
So the young people need to find young people.
Yeah, I believe so. For if, you know, in my case, it was that way.
At least to hang out with and go to meetings,
yeah,
maybe not as a sponsor.
You're late with.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys, you know, I hang out with you know, pretty much on a daily basis, or not weekly.
Even still?
Still to this day. You know, we go four-wheeling and just hang out and have barbecues.
So in your age group, you think in the roaring 20s, it's important sobriety be attached to fun?
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be nothing but just, you know, the meetings and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be nothing after that. You know, that hour meeting. You know,
right.
Like, what am I going to do after that?
Yeah.
But then you start running, you know, these guys go hang out, go bowling, and do all kinds of stuff after these meetings, before. So, I mean, it started to be fun for me.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there was things we do, you know, outside of the meetings that, you know, really made me enjoy it.
Sure. And you kind of are the poster child for Judge Meyer's drunk driving record of 8 DUIs, and here you are sober. Does that add a little more pressure on you in a good way? Like,
yes.
Hey, they're really looking to me to continue.
Yeah, Judge Meyer really stuck his neck out, you know, to
definitely
even accept me into the program. So, you know, it's not just that. You know, I feel that, you know, I don't want to let no one down also, but just
right.
Mainly myself.
Absolutely.
You know, all my kids now.
Yes, I was going to say, we should say a little about Nicole, because you met somebody else in the rooms, a woman that you ended up falling in love with.
Yeah, Nicole will have 3 years sobriety.
Right.
At the end of September. So,
You made a commitment. Wow.
Yeah, actually stuck with something.
Yes.
But
does that help?
Yeah.
Having a partner?
At first, you know, people thought it wasn't going to work. You know, people in treatment said that's a bad idea, but, you know, in some cases it is, and in my case it worked, and, you know, we have a beautiful 11-month-old daughter. She's awesome. That's my main priority in life
yes.
right now.
Yes, she is. Jace, let me be kind of bold here and ask you to share if you think, since you're in a relationship with a black woman, was that something that added a whole new dimension of experience for you with your family, with your friends?
Yeah, it opened up a whole new box, per
yes.
se. You know, I never thought I would be with a black woman or, you know, or even have anything, you know, to associate, you know, in that situation.
Sure. Well, do you think it's more difficult in the black community to admit that you have alcoholism and addiction? Is it kind of taboo?
Yeah, they think, you know, she always thought it was just part of, you know, I guess her culture. We've talked about it several times, you know, all her family, you know, still drink and drug. But
and a lot of the guests on here have just said that we really do need to do more in the black community and in the community, period, about alcoholism and addiction. But
yeah, I think it needs to start, you know, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it really needs to start pretty much, I guess, not even in high school, middle school. They really need to start grasping the situation mm-hmm. from there.
Do you think, looking back now, when you were 14 and started on your marijuana thing, and the older guys gave it to you, is there anything that could have prepared you differently so that wouldn't have happened? If schools had talked more about it or given kids more facts about it? Or
I think, yeah. If they would have really, you know, they talk about it every once in a while, you know, in schools, but they really need to, I guess,
integrate it in the curriculum.
Integrate it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, put it out there more. And
more of the facts.
And have people come in, and kids, you know, that are basically the same age that are in legal troubles, and talk and give them, you know, what they've been through.
Have you and Nicole, I know I've had you guys talk at universities and places with me, but have you and her thought about as part of your recovery to go and talk and work with young people that have started to make some bad choices to intervene?
I would like to.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. Really get
great.
Out there.
Yep.
You know, so our kids don't have to go down that path.
Yes, and you and her are both very good role models now.
Yeah, I hope to believe in it.
A chemically free home.
Yeah.
Hey, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, hers was mainly drugs, right?
Yeah.
Yours was more the booze, but drug's a drug. It's
yeah.
a mood-altering chemical.
She did pretty much everything.
Right,
so.
Right. Anything in closing that you think you want to share with the community? You can find Jason at the meetings at Columbia and Linwood. Just ask for Jason, the Fonz, and they'll all know, the 8-time DUI, or if you want to talk to Jason more, you can find him at AA meetings at Columbia and Linwood. But is there anything else you think we should know? You had mentioned sponsorship.
Sponsorship's a big deal. Just get to meetings and put yourself out there. Get to know people. Just really, I'm getting involved. It's just mainly, it's up to you, however you want your sobriety to end up.
Yeah.
It's, you can't depend on no one else to keep you sober.
Right.
So it's all about your own willpower.
And where's the other club now where they have pool tables and there's meetings there and it's kind of a fun club? Club Clean and Sober or Club Serenity?
It's Club Serenity.
On John Street there.
On John Street.
Okay, so there's lots of places young people could go.
Yeah, there's plenty out there. There's a bunch of activities before and after we have throughout the year.
And there's bingo tonight at the Old Stone at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
So your message seems to be you got to find fun in sobriety.
Yeah, or if not, you'll just be bored with it and not, you know, want to pursue it.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
For coming on. If anybody wants to ask Jason anything, you can call here, 424-1400. We'll get messages to him off the air, and he'll get back with you, I'm pretty sure. And if you want to hear him again, you can go to the podcast on www.lisaseifcares.net. Give us till Tuesday or Wednesday, and then he'll be on the World Wide Web, so you can communicate with Jason that way, too. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
It's important to know that all those legal entanglements...
And still overcoming.
Yeah, yeah. So, thanks, audience, for listening. We will be back again next Saturday with an activist in this community that is going to confront us all about getting off our tuchuses and doing something about alcoholism and drug addiction, especially in the minority community here. So look forward to hearing from Marvelline next week. Until then, bye, Jason.
Bye.
Bye, Radio Rehab. And don't forget between now and next week to do the next right thing.
The Pump, 1400 AM, WEOA.